I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello and welcome to the Must Hear Music podcast. I'm sitting here with Jason Lipschutz.
What's up, man?
And Aaron Strecker.
Hi.
Hey, guys.
We got a pop heavy.
We do. I'm very excited about all the stuff we have going on here. So excited. I really don't even know what to start with. I feel like, I wish I had a six-sided coin to flip.
Wow.
But let's start with James Bond. So let's start with Sam Smith. You know?
An interesting one to start with. I would
also the one that must be said for the record that your own pick. So
So this is one of my picks. We have Mr. Sam Smith with a new song called "The Writing's on the Wall," which is from the upcoming James Bond movie. Which now I suddenly can't think of the
Spectre.
Title of Spectre. Yeah, the criminal organization. So Sam Smith has said that he's basically hasn't started, isn't even thinking about working on his next album. Like he's waiting to live more life, to like have more love and heartbreak and stuff before he even approaches it. So that being so, we get this song from the James Bond movie from Sam Smith, and this could be the first and only new Sam Smith song we get for like a year, which is
that Omen.
What?
Disclosure. The Disclosure song.
Right, aside from the Disclosure song, which we already have. I mean, like, moving forward.
Oh, I see.
Like,
it could be
another year before we get new Sam Smith. Knowing that, I would say this song maybe isn't as fulfilling as one might hope, but overall, I think this is a very good Bond theme. I think, you know, it sounds like a Bond theme. I mean, it opens with the, like, moody, dangerous strings and has a very, you know, theatrical, dark vocal performance. I mean, the thing I think that really sets it apart from most other Bond songs and most of his stuff is that, like, his voice gets higher here than we've ever heard before. And it's just, like, incredible and very lovely in, like, a heartbreaking way you usually don't. There's, like, more emotion on this song than you typically hear from a Bond theme song, which I appreciate. Like, usually they're more, I guess, about bombast than, like, emotion. And I think this has got some real, like, heartbreak in it. So I give this, like, a mostly up thumbs up.
Wow.
Like, the thumb is wavering to get to that 90-degree angle, but it's close.
I think I totally agree with you about almost on a 90-degree angle, because I thought it started a little. I agree with everything you said about it being thematically Bond and very cinematic. I thought it started a little slow for me, like the first minute or so I wasn't as into it, but then once he starts really building, I'm like, all right, like this is a worthy follow-up to Adele, which of course was one of the most successful Bond themes of all time.
Yeah, Oscar winner.
Only Oscar winner, right? Only Oscar.
Yeah, I think it was the only Bond theme to win an Oscar. I could be wrong.
I think it's the first one in a while. I feel like something else is already.
Maybe
won it.
Carly Simon. Nobody.
I
does
may
it
just
better.
Be making facts up as I go along. But it was certainly obviously a huge success, and I think Sam Smith probably had a little bit of additional pressure just because Adele had raised the bar so high. But yeah, I think I'm definitely gonna like it, and I think those songs tend to hold up even better once you see it in the movie.
Yeah, totally.
And all the hoopla surrounding that. So I'm excited to see how it continues to grow.
Here's my thing.
Oh, Jason's got a thing.
I've always got a thing. First of all, I'm really happy that like the Bond theme song is a thing again. I like that, and I did not enjoy when it was like Chris Cornell.
Oh, I was just gonna make a joke about that.
Yeah,
because that was so lame and disappointing.
It's cool that they have British pop stars, like actual pop stars doing these again, like Adele and now Sam Smith. I am definitely disappointed with this, and not because of anything wrong that Sam Smith has done, but I feel like if, like, the day before it came out, you were like, okay, Jason, picture what this Sam Smith James Bond theme song is going to sound like. I feel like it's exactly how I pictured it. Like,
but is that necessarily a bad thing, or is it just, like, delivering what people wanted?
So you think it's a little too safe?
Yeah, that's exactly how I'd put it. I don't think there's anything wrong with it, but it's just like, I guess maybe it's just a personal thing where I would want to see more differentiation between the Bond theme songs that, like, you like I said, like, you just knew exactly what this is going to sound like. Like, imagine if it didn't sound like exactly how it sounded like yeah. I don't know. I think that I know that the Bond thing is the Bond franchise is classic and whatnot, and people have certain expectations for it, but, like, think about, like, Madonna's Die Another Day.
I was just about to say, though, Madonna tried something different and people flipped out and did not like it.
Yeah, but, like,
that is a great song, though.
Yeah,
surprisingly, first of all, it's a great song. Gonna say it's a great song.
Second of all,
it was, like, a top 10 hit.
People are always gonna resist change. Like, I would just rather, the thing is, I've really come to love the new Sam Smith Disclosure song, Omen. Mm-hmm. And I was, after I heard Writings on the Wall, I was like, man, I'd be kind of pumped if Omen was, like, the Bond theme song. It kind of sounds a little sinister, mm-hmm. and, like, definitely different than what a Bond theme song would sound like. I don't know. It's just Aaron's giving me a stare like, Jason, you dummy.
No, because I agree with everything you're saying, so I'm not giving you a dummy stare. No. I'm just thinking, because I think it's one of those, I feel like it's almost one of those damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Sort
things,
of, yeah.
Because, like, people who have had tried to go outside, like, the what a Bond song should be, have gotten serious hate for it. And so then when Sam Smith is like, okay, well, this is exactly what you pictured, right? And
yeah.
Jason's like, that also doesn't impress me.
Yeah, no, it's true. And maybe it's just because it came right after Skyfall, and I love Skyfall too, and it is sort of, you know, Skyfall is a traditional Bond song, but I think that one works. I think that part of the problem here is that Writings on the Wall is so similar to Skyfall, so similar to what our expectations were for it. And I just want to hear, like, I think Sam Smith could have been more playful with this. Like, he sounds, like, so excited about, like, making it on when, like, in the press release and on Twitter and whatnot. And, like, you hear it and it's just like, he's like, he's kind of going through the Bond motions a little bit. So
that's fair.
You would want something a little more playful, funny, like a song called Fond of Bond.
Fond
I'm
of
just
Bond.
Fond of Bond. And that would be
was the end of Sam Smith's career. It was a rapid rise and an even faster fall.
It's a ton of Grammys, then releases Fond of Bond, never heard from again.
Never heard from again.
Yeah, but, like, I don't know. I think that there are some, aside from Die Another Day, there are some successful Bond theme songs that do play with the formula a little bit, like
right.
the Duran Duran.
Die Another Day, well, the Duran Duran, British people voted their least favorite.
Oh, for real?
British people now.
Well,
so who can really
yeah,
trust that?
Come on.
But I think you're right to a degree. Like, Live and Let Die, which I would say is maybe my
yeah.
favorite, is not traditional Bond. Carly Simon's Nobody Does It Better is also not traditional
yeah.
Bond. So, but I think also, you know, then, like, when Jack White and Alicia Keys did kind of an out there Bond song, it was terrible, and everyone
yeah.
correctly said it was terrible.
I feel like there just has to be some sort of middle ground between out there, and Die Another Day is out there.
Yeah.
There's got to be some middle ground between out there and, like, exactly by the book. And I guess that's my problem with,
you know, what the best part of Die Another Day is when there's the voiceover and she goes, Sigmund Freud analyzed this.
Yeah.
Why?
Wait, Joe, when was the last time you listened to Die Another Day?
I mean, within the last year. I couldn't say for sure.
In the last week.
Possibly when it was Madonna's birthday. I can't really remember.
Oh, goodness. Anyway.
That is a really great song, though.
So back to Die Another Day.
Yeah.
But no, back to Madonna. So let's
talk about the movie Die Another Day for a second, and how it is almost, it's the second most ridiculous Bond movie of all time. That's when he's, like, driving on the ice in the invisible car. Did you ever see that one with Halle Berry?
Pretty bad.
The most ridiculous one, of course, is The World Is Not Enough, when Denise Richards plays, like, a scientist
That's
named Christmas.
Goofy. I mean, Moonraker is pretty silly. That's with lasers in space.
Yeah, that's a pretty silly one.
Bond has only gotten super serious again the last couple. Let's be honest about the history of this franchise.
You know what was cool about The World Is Not Enough, and I can just talk about The World Is Not Enough forever, is that the bad guy, who was played by Robert Carlyle, had a bullet in his brain so he couldn't feel pain.
That is a good, that's a good piece of Bond writing right there.
It's so stupid. Anyway, I always want to talk about that movie. But
yeah. No, I mean, I love the Bond movies. I don't even know why. I just think they're like so much fun to watch.
Yeah, I agree.
But let's listen to it. So it's Sam Smith, The Writing's on the Wall, from the upcoming movie Spectre. If I risk it all, could you break my fall? How do I breathe when you're not here? I'm suffocating. All right, that's Sam Smith's Fond of Bond, also known as Bond. The Writing's on the Wall. Let's do, I mean, since we were talking about it just now, let's do Disclosure featuring Lord Magnet.
Yeah.
This is a Jason pick.
Yeah.
What attracted you to Magnet?
Ah, Jason? Oh, well no. Played, Joseph. So Magnet is the much-awaited, long-awaited pairing of Lord and Disclosure on the Disclosure's new album. Just came out with a music video, and it actually really does live up to expectation for me. I think that when they combined, I think at the BBC, or what is it? The Brit Awards. I was going to say the BBC Awards, which isn't a thing. No. They performed together at the Brit Awards, and then they hyped up doing something further. And
what did they do there? Did they do Royals?
I think
with
they did
like
tennis court, maybe.
Oh, maybe that was it. It was cool, though. I remember
it
that.
Was cool. But now they're back, and I really like Magnets. I really like the music video as well, which is kind of like Fatal Attraction-y. And I just think that you sometimes forget, because you hear so many like remixes, that someone like Lord like doesn't make dance music. So I've heard a ton of Lord like Royals and Tennis Court remixes, but like she didn't actually make those things.
Yeah.
So to hear her on what's basically a house song is really exciting for me. And I think that the lyrics are just so clever, and what she does as an artist. Like, I feel like she's really growing into phase two of her career in an exciting way. I loved Pure Heroine. That was my favorite album of that year. And
you mean the album?
Love,
yeah.
No, I don't love Pure Heroin the drug. I love Pure Heroin the album. What if someone listening to this was like, he loves Pure Heroin?
You can never run for president, because they're gonna take that soundbite and be like, in 2015, Jason Lipschitz said,
openly loved.
I love Pure Heroin.
It's true. I can't. Yeah, I guess my political career is over. But yeah, it's sort of a perfect stopgap for Lord. It's in the same way that Sam Smith is doing a stopgap between albums 1 and 2. This seems to be something that Lord is doing, aside from, I guess, the Hunger Games.
Yeah. And that did pair her with Chemical Brothers.
Yes, that is true.
But that wasn't exactly a dance song.
No,
that
was a crazy song, which I enjoyed. But I like Magnets more than Yellow Flicker Beat. I think that the lyrics are stronger. I think the beat is definitely, it stays with you longer. I'm curious as to see what you guys think.
Yeah, I mean, I really, really liked it. I was also really excited to see Lord take on dance music and just show that she has all these other areas that she hasn't even explored yet that is really promising for her and for her future. I mean, also, it was fun just to see her. I don't know. I think she projects such an image of self-seriousness sometimes, which definitely works for her whole aesthetic. But it was fun to see her kind of kick back in a music video and be, like, goofy and sexy in a different way that we haven't seen before.
Yeah.
And it also just made me really excited about the future and future projects from her.
Yeah. Yeah.
I loved it. Like, more than I thought I would, I guess. Just because, you know, we've talked about the past Disclosure stuff from the new album. And like I said, the Sam Smith collaboration from this new album, I think, was more of a grower, not a shower.
You say it every week.
I know.
On this show.
No, I
it
say
always
it about
makes
once
you
a month.
Uncomfortable.
And that's why I keep saying it, because you like blush every time.
I really do.
Anyways, so, but this, like, I felt like the first time I listened to it, I was like, wow, this is like a great pop song. Yeah. This is a great dance song. It's a really good vocal performance from her. And you're right, like, the lyrics are really memorable. I like the whole let's embrace to the point of no return thing.
Yeah.
Like, that's a great, like, dance floor line.
Yeah.
And I like that musically they're, like, it seems, like, you listen to it and it's actually fairly low key, But it's just like so well constructed and catchy that it seems, I guess, kind of more upbeat than it otherwise is.
Yeah.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
But yeah, it's awesome. I'm loving it.
I feel like people are like down on this Disclosure album, and I don't really know why.
I feel like you're right, and I don't know why either.
Yeah, it's really good. It might not be as good. Who were we talking about a couple of weeks ago when we were saying like the first album was really great and the second album was really good, but that doesn't mean like don't listen to the second album. Like I think it was like maybe Casey Musgraves, or
it might have been
somebody
that.
Like that.
Yeah.
And I was like, and I feel like this is the case here where it's like people are like, well, it's not as good as the first album, and it's like, yeah, maybe that's true, but it's still really good.
Yeah.
And I don't know, like I'm really enjoying listening to this album a lot.
Totally. Yeah, it's not fair too when like Settle was one of the best dance albums in like several years.
Yeah.
So like, sorry, it's not one of the best dance albums since then, but like it's a very good record.
Yeah.
I totally agree. So this is Disclosure featuring Lorde, the song's Magnets from Caracol. Pretty girls don't know the things that I know. Walk my way up, share the things that you won't. Uh-oh, dancing past the point of no return. Let go, we can free ourselves. All right, that was Disclosure and Lorde. Let's do an Aaron Strecker pick. So last week we talked about Father John Misty making fun of Ryan Adams' Taylor Swift covers by singing like Lou Reed. This week we are actually going to talk about Ryan Adams covering Taylor Swift. The one we're going to hone in on is Wildest Dreams, which Aaron, this is your pick.
This is my pick. First of all, it's a good thing I was not here for that discussion last week, because I think everyone kind of forgot that music is allowed to be fun. Like, Ryan Adams is allowed to just...
Shots fired!
No, but Ryan Adams is allowed to make this album and just not have a larger point. And I think there's a lot of really interesting discussion going on online around the album. I personally feel like it's a little bit disappointing that this is what it took for people to understand that Taylor Swift has some really great lyrics on 1989. There's been a lot of really great think pieces all over the internet about that. That said, I really like Ryan Adams's interpretations of some of these songs, and I think the best one on the album for me is his version of Wildest Dreams, which is a tune I already love from Taylor, but I think he brings some kind of like bombastic 80s-ness to it in a way that Taylor's version doesn't, you know, for better or for worse, and I cannot stop listening to it. So I want you both to explain to me why I cannot stop listening.
I'll let Joe
tell me what's wrong with me. Or tell me what's right about the
song.
There's
nothing wrong with you, because yeah, I listened to, and Jason and I talked about this, I'm not that into his 1989 covers album overall. I'm not a huge Ryan Adams guy, but Wildest Dreams definitely I love. Like, I think it's the best cover on the album, and I think he does something, I don't even want to say really interesting with it, because it's almost like if you thought, like, hey, what would Ryan Adams doing Taylor Swift sound like? Like, this is
exactly that.
What that sounds
yeah.
like. But yeah. it's, like, perfect for that. Like, it's kind of a jaunty country folk thing, and I think it worked so well on Wildest Dreams, because that was, like, a great but pretty, like, muted, slow song on the album, and it's stupid to say, but it's like you almost forget at this point, like, Taylor Swift was country once. So, like, basically that's her roots. And, like, the songs she writes at their bones, like, many of them are still country songs. And I think that's especially true with Wildest Dreams. Like, it almost seems like a homecoming for the song. Like, oh, it was always meant to be a country song. Which might be true. You know, like, I don't know what her process is. Like, maybe she wrote them on an acoustic guitar and then decided, let's make them Max Martin pop. You know, I don't know which came first. But yeah, I think in this case, like, Wild the Streams is just, like, it's so good. And I love his version of it. And you're right. Like, it does, you know, people have been focusing on the lyrics a little bit more. So that's good, I guess, for her.
No. It's good for her come Grammy time.
Yeah.
Like, remind people that these songs had really great lyrics in addition to, like, being great dance beats or whatever.
I mean, one of the things that we've talked about a bunch, and I think Aaron and I have talked about a bunch, is how much I love Speak Now, her 2010 album.
Jason.
I'll never stop writing.
I never want you to stop.
Never stop writing for Speak Now. And one of the reasons I do is because there's such a focus and an emphasis on the lyrics. And with her move to more mainstream pop, I think a little of that has been lost in translation. Not that the lyrics are weaker, but that there's a lot more going on in terms of the production when you have Max Martin in the studio. I think that I really dislike the Bryan Adams covers album. I'm more than anything disappointed by it because I think that the idea of an quote-unquote indie artist or whatever you want to label him as covering a full pop album, kind of giving it a different lens in which to view it, is tremendous. I think it's a great idea. I just don't think that the execution is there. But Wildest Dreams is, like you guys have said, a great example of an instance where you get to focus on the lyrics and be like, wow, these lyrics are actually really moving and really jarring. And maybe I didn't recognize it because of all the whooshing production and the, like all that. And was that good? Did that sound
that
like Wild Taylor Swift?
So close.
Most, yeah. But I guess I agree with you guys. If you guys were looking to like, I want to explore the Bryan Adams 1989. Not for me, but this is, I think, a good gateway into doing it.
Yeah, some of it definitely doesn't work, but Wildest Dreams works 100%, 10 stars.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I like what you said, Aaron, at the outset of your monologue, if I may call it that, that like, Bryan Adams and, like, music are allowed to be fun. Like, I do think people, as much as, you know, like I was just saying, I'm not that into this covers album, but at the same time, it is just a covers album. Like, I don't see, like, why people get upset, like, oh, this isn't that good, this should be better. It's like, it's not an official, like, studio album. Like, this is just a fun project he put out. And, like, if it doesn't change your life, like, big deal. Like, you don't have to listen to it, you know? It's not like this is the long-awaited, like, he's been in his studio for 8 years and this is what he's giving to the world. Like, it's a fun-off one project and, like, what's
maybe
good is nice.
Maybe something out of it, yeah.
Yeah, maybe someone got something out of it. Maybe this introduces Taylor Swift fans of Bryan Adams and Bryan Adams fans of Taylor Swift and blah, blah, blah. I don't know. Whatever. So,
can you imagine me a Bryan Adams fan? Who is this Taylor Swift?
You know that person exists, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure, like, they are familiar with her, but, like, probably have not bothered to listen to an actual Taylor Swift song. Yeah. Aside from what's
makes
on the
me
radio.
Sad.
Which everyone's missing
out, guys.
So more Taylor for everybody.
Missing out.
All right, well, let's listen to it. It's Bryan Adams covering Taylor Swift's Wildest Dreams. Drive out of this town, drive out of the city, away from the crowds. I thought heaven can't help me now. Nothing lasts forever. This is gonna take me down. All right, that was Bryan Adams' Wildest Dreams. Next, let's do... what should we move on? Let's do Fetty next. We got Fetty Wap featuring Monty, who is the same guy on 679. And
Fetty.
Track is Jug.
Yeah, Jug.
Jug.
So I just picked this song because I love it. And
smart.
I love the whole Fetty Wap album.
It's really good.
One of my friends who's another music writer criticized it as 17 trap queens, and I was like, you say that like it's a bad thing. Like,
I don't think that's necessarily true.
I kind of think it is, but it's just so happy. Like, this is the most happy rap album I've heard all year, and let's be honest, like, I feel like we kind of need a happy rap album. Even you, like, in the year of To Pimp a Butterfly, if you're reading this, it's too late. Dirty Sprite 2. Like, all these albums are really great, but also really dark and kind of closed off. Fetty Wap's album is just, like, totally inclusive, and it's like, hey guys, here I am. I'm rich now because of Trap Queen. Yeah. I'm gonna celebrate for 17 songs. And Jug, featuring Monty of Remy Boys, of course, is just completely indicative of that vibe. I just think that it's I can't imagine listening to this song and not smiling a little bit. It's just so happy. Like, it's all there for me. So
yeah, and I think one of the great thing about Fetty Wap, like Trap Queen in this song, because Jug is basically like, you know, I know this because this is what I'm doing, like, every time after I get out of work. It's like stealing cars or just, like, peddling dope on the street or whatever. But it's like you have these songs that are so upbeat and happy and really accessible, but they are about, like, you know, like Trap Queen or this one, yeah. You know, about illegal activity. And that, like, really reminds me of kind of like what rap was in the 80s, which stuff that like simultaneously is fun and celebratory, but also talks about like, you know, like more like street things yeah. that kind of have gotten lost as, you know, rap gets more political or personal or whatever. Yeah. I'm not saying one's better than the other at all, but I do think it's refreshing at least.
It kind of reminds me of, I'm a big Cam'ron fan and in the mid 2000s when he put out albums like Purple Haze, he like his raps were just in terms of like misogyny and drug use, they were just deplorable, but like they were so full of energy and full of like just good vibes that it was impossible to kind of not like you wince at like the lyrical concept, but in terms of the music you're just like right, this is great.
No, Cam'ron was so good. Yeah, in fact, like his songs are so much fun to listen to.
Anyway,
What did you think, Aaron, about Fetty?
Hi. Well, I listened to it for the first time today.
Yeah.
And I really liked it. Like, they're really catchy. And I agree with Jason that, like, they're super, super happy, which is kind of fun and different. Mm-hmm. But I'm not going to pretend like I have any other thoughts.
That's fair. That's fair.
I listen to Trap Queen all the time, the end.
Yeah. I mean, it's... like, Fetty Wap's like a star now. Like, I wrote a Grammys thing today, and I said he's going to get a Best New Artist nomination.
You really
like,
think so?
I think so. Like, it's just, I think he's really come at it, come at this whole way of following up Trap Queen very creatively, where it's like, it's sort of giving the people what they want, but also, like, which is more Trap Queen, but, like, having the hooks be just different enough that people aren't like, it's Trap Queen part two.
Yeah, I think honestly, like, I don't even see that credit. Like, certainly they, like, have a similar sound, but, like, I don't know, like, Again is a great song, like, My Way. I don't think they sound like remakes. Six, seven, nine. I think so it's good. Just, like, stuff within the same vein.
Yeah.
And, like, that's a lot of albums. A lot of albums have songs that are within the same sonic vein. I don't think it means they're.
Most albums.
That
most
really albums. Is most albums. Yeah.
Good for Fetty.
I haven't read any reviews of this yet. Response been good?
Yeah, it's been positive for sure. I think a lot people aren't saying like it's a classic or anything, but it's like, this is really fun. Like I've just seen that a lot. So, and I agree with it.
Yeah, cool. Well, let's listen to it. So it's Fetty Wap featuring his good friend Monty. The song is called Jug. I could teach you how to jug. So we on the All right, that was the new Fetty Wap. Let's talk about, so this was, we were going to talk about it anyways, but this is a Twitter request in addition to my pick. So, we don't have a Twitter request little thing. We'll figure that out later. You did
that's
it.
That's my
bow, bow, bow.
Twitter request.
Nice.
Come back to that.
So we have a new,
it's not a fan.
New Sia song called Alive from her, this is the lead single from her next album, This Is Acting. This Is Acting is like the most Sia album title ever. Like I thought A Thousand Forms of Fear was, but now I'm like, This Is Acting is way more Sia. Yeah. So the new song's called Alive. I, you know, like if you're a Sia fan, you're going to like it. I'm not sure if this is the kind of thing that's going to get her more fans or really tear up the radio. Like, it's a very powerful vocal performance. You know, it sounds like vocals, a lot of times you're like, oh, this is like singing to the roof. This is like she's in like a cathedral, like singing to the ceiling at the cathedral. Like, yeah. It's very vocally powerful. But I think musically, and especially for as long as this song is, I wish there was a little more going on. Like,
yeah.
Elastic Heart had that great loop. Chandelier had like time shift changes to it. This is like a fairly straightforward song, which is probably because she wrote it for Adele. She said she submitted it to Adele and Adele passed, and then she just did it herself. I do think it's a great song, but it's, you know, it's just not as kind of, usually you expect to see a song to have like a great vocal performance as well as be a little off-kilter pop.
Yeah.
This is like fairly coloring between the lines, but I do like it.
Yeah.
What did you guys think?
I really liked it too. I think I was surprised to hear when I first heard the backstory about writing it for Adele, because it feels like such a Sia song. Like, it would feel, I would be curious what Adele's vocals would do with it, but at the same time, like, it just feels very much at home for Sia. I agree with you. I don't know how many new fans the song is going to get her, but like, speaking as someone who I feel like I'm a moderate Sia fan, like, mm-hmm. I like her hits, but I don't know every song. I keep listening to it, so I think that's like a positive sign, right?
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
Yeah,
no, it's terrible.
yeah. So I actually interviewed the producer Jesse Chatkin a couple days ago.
Head to Billboard.com.
Head to Billboard.com to check that out. So it was written by Adele, Sia, and Tobias Gesso Jr. And then for Adele, and then Adele passed on it, and then they thought about submitting it to Rihanna actually, and then Sia was like, "I kind of want this for myself."
Good for Sia.
I think that this is a very strong song. I think that what hurts it is that if this song had come out before Chandelier, Elastic Heart, something like Diamonds from Rihanna, I think that our opinion of it would be higher. But I think that it feels sort of like a sequel. Like, it feels like a sequel where you're like, you know what, like, it's like, I don't know, The Hangover Part 3, which I've never seen The Hangover Part 3.
No.
But what I've been told about The Hangover movies, I think I saw the second one. Anyway.
The second one was the same movie.
Let's get to the bottom
the
of this.
The third one.
Jason, have you seen all The Hangover films?
So The Hangover movies are like notorious for being just the same movie over and over, right? So The Hangover Part 3, I'm sure fans of The Hangover enjoyed that, but they're like, it's probably not as good as the first one.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like this is The Hangover part 3 of like Sia singles, where it's like, if you liked Chandelier and you like Elastic Heart, here's Alive. And it's like, you know what? It's super enjoyable, but we've already heard Chandelier, which is one of the best pop songs of last year. We've already heard Elastic Heart, which I actually personally listen to more than Chandelier.
Yeah, I like Elastic Heart.
I love
too.
That song. And I really like this song, but I'm hoping to see some different looks from Sia from This Is Acting, where, you know, she's such a tremendous songwriter that she can bend her style in so many different ways. I kind of want to hear her bend it a little bit more.
I would agree with that.
It's a valid point, but can I just say, I did not see all this Hangover talk happening. Really didn't think we were going to go there. I'm glad we did.
Don't the Hangover, like, the Hangover movies were only like a couple years. They feel so long ago to me.
Right? It was 2009, I want to say.
I mean, that's 6 years ago at this point.
Well, that was the first one.
Right.
When was the last one?
Like 2 years ago?
Oh, really? I thought it was like 8 years ago.
I don't know.
Years ago, the Hangover movies didn't exist yet.
They were just
Isn't that crazy?
They were just
Bradley Cooper's Wedding Crasher Eye.
Wow. That's funny. But I say all that saying that I really like this song. I just think it's a little...
But do you really like the Hangover
movies? Yeah, I'm also...
How
no,
funny
I really
do you
don't.
Find the Hangover movies?
Oh, not funny at all. Oh.
Yeah, fair.
I can't even speak to it. I saw the first one, and appropriately, I was wasted, and I remember nothing about it.
Wow.
I can speak to the Hangover movies, and let me tell you, not great.
Oh, wow.
I wouldn't believe that. Yeah. Well, let's listen to it. Sia, Alive, It's on. You can buy it on iTunes or on Spotify. And if you want to see The Hangover, you know, go to your local video store if it still exists.
Oh, what was the name of the do we have the Twitter handle that recommended us?
I wish I did, but we'll find it after this short little break. So let's listen to Sia's song, Alive.
Found solace in the strangest place, way in the back of my mind. I saw my life in a stranger's face.
All right, that was Sia Alive, which was recommended to us by Brittany, also known as our Melvin fan. So thanks, Brittany. Two T's, N-E-Y, Brittany.
Brittany's a great fan. Brittany's always tweeting at us and recommending things. Giving Brittany a shout out right now.
We're giving Brittany a shout out. So so thanks. And what do we got? Next and last, we've got an Aaron Strecker pick.
Aaron.
The band is called Little Mix. The song is called Love Me Like You.
I could not be more excited to be talking about Love Me Like You because I have been loving Little Mix for a while now. Black Magic was my personal unofficial song of summer.
Yes.
And then everything that they've been releasing the last couple months, kind of building off this new level of fame from Black Magic, has been wonderful. Hair is crazy and fun. And like, I know it was written before the Perry Edwards, Zayn Malik stuff, but it like perfectly plays into, you know, that whole public personal drama about, you know, getting rid of a guy or whatever. But then their new one is Love Me Like You, and it's got like a doo-wop-y flashback thing going on, and I'm so into it. And the music video comes out on Friday, and it's like a old school like high school prom, it looks like. And I love everything that they're doing, and I also love that all of their tunes are allowing me to relive high school, whether that be like Black Magic and like
The Craft.
No, but like I think it's just like a really fun recurring theme that they're doing, and I think it really works for them, because like with Black Magic they have like the spell, and they like are like high school like quote-unquote outcast, and then they become like hot, which is like, you know, problematic in its own sense. But it's really fun to watch in a 3.5 minute music video. And then this one, I've just seen a clip from the music video, but it's like, as I said, like it's a prom theme and they're all like torn up about some guy. And I just love that they are like a current pop group that are trying something different. And you know, seeing where that takes them.
Joe, I want you to know, and I'm sure you know, that you're in a room with two huge Little Mix fans right now.
Classic mixers.
Classic mixers.
I realize I was surrounded, but
this is an intervention.
That's a good warning.
Listen, like, I'm not wrong.
No, you're not wrong at all, because Little Mix, like, just very quickly, I was talking to my friend yesterday, and he was like, who's a music writer, and he was like, what do you think, like, the best pop album of the year is? And I was like, probably Carly Rae. And he's like, yeah, probably Carly Rae. And he's like, I wonder what it's going to be. And I was like, oh, it's probably going to be Get Weird by Little Mix. And he was like what? What are you talking about? And I was like, yo, Get Weird. I am all in on Get Weird.
All in.
Get Weird is going to be fantastic.
Joe's so bewildered right now. Joe thinks that we're being sarcastic, and I know, and you know, we're both being very real.
No, I loved Little Mix's last album.
I loved their last album, and I feel like, as I just said this, but I feel like they tackle so many different things in the pop realm, because they can do like a power ballad. They got like a little bit of the Destiny's Child pump you up girl power stuff. They can do just like a classic pop dance track, and I feel like Get Weird, like everything we've heard from it so far, is like a little bit of everything. So I'm really curious to see how it comes together as a whole cohesive unit.
Yeah, I would say I really like this new single, which is not surprising whatsoever. I don't know if it's like I love it on the level as Black Magic, but in the same way that I want, like we just talked about Sam Smith and Sia, and I kind of wanted to hear variations, like I love the fact that they're trying something new. Like
totally.
I love the fact that, like, even if it's not unbelievable, this is like a totally different move for them, and I think it's so cool that they're willing to try that. Their album's called Get Weird. I'm so ready for just like.
Are they going to get weird?
They're totally going to get weird,
this
man.
This song has a doo-wop thing. Is
yeah,
weird?
Come on.
Okay, listen. I do like the song, but there is nothing weird about doo-wop in like.
It is when you're
Meghan
a British pop band.
Did it a year ago. I mean, Amy Winehouse really paved the way with.
I'm certainly not saying Little Mix created doo-wop. Let's be clear. I just think
I am saying that, basically. I am saying that.
I just think, as Jason is saying, I just think it's really fun that these, like, four, this British girl group is just trying different things and isn't just, like, doing the same thing over and over again. It's refreshing, and I like to hear more of it.
Yeah, and their last album, Salute, was very rhythmic. It sounded, like, akin to, like, a Destiny's Child album. And this is, so far, what we've heard from this third album is totally in the other direction, and I can't wait to hear it. I'm like pumped for this Little Mix album, and I am a 28-year-old man.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Joe?
I feel like after just all of that, like, rhapsodizing, I'm going to come across as, like, hating on it, but I liked
Hater.
It. But I didn't have the same, like, intensity for it.
You will.
I do have a question, though, for you guys. I mean, this is a fairly... I feel like this is more adult than their past stuff. And I'm not a mixer, so I can't speak definitively to this. But, like, the lyrics, I wrote it down. They're like, there's one, when you're with me, boy, I want it every day. I love the way you give it to me. Like, that's pretty explicitly about getting banged.
Aww,
are they usually?
Yeah.
Well, what else is the come on? Give it to me every
their
day.
Their heart.
Like, it's about making love.
Okay,
making
to answer everything that's just been said here, yes, but also I feel like that's not particularly new, because I feel like artists that typically appeal to teens have been doing this for forever. It's like Selena Gomez and her double entendre songs, and I feel like it's the same deal.
I feel like this is like less of a double entendre, like there's a single entendre.
Joe,
basically,
they're talking about his heart.
Yeah, right. Come on, man.
Sure,
it's true love.
Come
did you
on,
even
man.
Listen? Did you? Were you even listening earlier?
Get
when
weird,
I was
man. Come on.
Prom?
You're right. I think I was totally spacing out during that.
Fair.
All right, let's listen to it. The universally acclaimed Little Mix single, "Love Me Like You."
So
all right, that was Little Mix's new song. I feel like I'm corny. Like, you guys are just looking at me, like, waiting for me to just, like, suddenly turn into a mixer, like, right before your very eyes.
Just a little bit of black magic.
Oh, my
God. I'm so sorry.
I gotta end this podcast and get out of here. No, when they were at the 100 Fest, like, I loved their performance. They did,
Great.
Think, one of the best performances.
It's so crazy how, like, they just haven't connected at U.S. radio whatsoever. And you wrote about this last year for Girl Group Week. Fifth Harmony finally did with Worth It.
Fifth Harmony finally got their song.
Yeah, but...
Maybe hopefully. When Little Mix finally gets weird, that will be their moment.
Yeah.
I feel like, and I could be 100% wrong, but like we were saying, like, this has the, like, retro doo-wop vibe, which obviously charts were receptive to with Meghan Trainor. Like, this might do well for them. Like, yeah. I feel like more than Black Magic was cool, but it was definitely, like, a frothy pop song. You don't really hear those tearing up
top
100.
And we talked about it on this podcast, and I was like, this probably won't do very well in the States because it sounds like a British pop, like a British girl group pop song. Mm-hmm. It sounds like Girls Aloud. And that wasn't a bad thing, but, yeah, it didn't take off here, so.
Yeah.
In conclusion, we're just three people who want the best for Little Mix.
That is true.
And
we got two people. One person who is just kind of excited for them.
Just
wishes them all.
Excitement.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, Joe. Anyway.
All right. Well, that is what we got for this week's podcast. Thank you for listening. Thank you for tweeting in recommendations. Please send us anything else you've been listening to, songs or artists. And have a great week. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.